Last week we talked about how oftentimes we really know what we ought to do, but we just can't do it. And we talked about how we look at some believers out there, you know, these Christian heroes, and we feel like, why is it that they are able to live that kind of awesome supernatural life, that kind of life of intimacy with God? And yet, we believe in the same God, we have the same Bible, we have the same Spirit, but we're not able to live the same kind of life that they do, that they have. And we talked about how there's a big gap of between the life that we live and the life that God wants us to experience. Right? We have this partial salvation, a salvation that is only in the future after we die, right? Where our faith seems to be irrelevant to how we are right now. And I talked about how oftentimes we would buy these equipments thinking that if we just buy them, these exercise equipment, if we just buy them, we'll naturally automatically get a six-pack and muscle-bound body. Or if we just buy this product, I'll naturally, you know, lose weight or whatever. But that's not reality. Salvation is all-encompassing. Salvation is it's in our entire life. Okay? And we're going to continue to look at that concept today because salvation is so much more. Salvation is kingdom life right now. Right? We talked about that last time. The kingdom is God's fullness of life right now. And so before we continue with that concept, let's come before God and just really ask Him to break our hearts and open up the eyes of our spirit so that we can see His truth. Okay, let's bow before Him and pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You with wide open arms and wide open hearts. We ask that You come and be our God. Be our Lord. Be the sovereign one who reigns in this place, who reigns in our lives. We submit and surrender completely to You this morning. And I ask that Your Spirit will come and make Your words come alive. Well, God, You said that Your word is like a double-edged sword that really cuts through deep into our hearts. That's able to divide between soul and spirit, bone and marrow. I pray that You'll do that in our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Salvation is a lot more. Salvation is not just something that will happen once we die. See, I didn't want to draw a picture. I think that may help us understand what salvation is. Because we don't want to continue to have that partial salvation where it's, you know, sometimes in the future, after we die, then Lord save us. That's not true. Lord save us the second that his life, Christ enters us, right? So it's like this. Just kind of picture yourself. We live in rebellion against God. But the Holy Spirit draws us to Christ. And at some point in life, things just click. Right, and we repent because God's grace. I'm going to change to a thinner pen. It's kind of thick. God's grace overwhelms us and brings us to a point of salvation. So, from this point on, we have new life. Right, we have this eternal life. But the thing is, we talked about last time. Oftentimes, we just kind of get stuck over here. Okay, we have this new life, but what God wants us to experience is a powerful, passionate, abundant life. Right? This is God's promised life to us. So what's going on here? Why the gap? Right? Why the big gap? Why is it that we get stuck over here and we're not able to move forward? Because salvation is not just sin management, as we thought last time we talked about. Salvation is sin eradication. Sin is a heart transplant. Salvation is the total transformation of our inner self, just like the song that we're singing earlier, that God will come in and transform us from the inside out. Salvation is like this. It's like getting Bowflex Ultimate 2 for free. Okay? It's like getting Bowflex Ultimate for free. But not only that, see, we can get a free machine, but it'll do us no good when we cannot actually, when we don't actually go up and exercise, right? See, salvation is like getting that machine for free and having the power to actually work on it 45 minutes every day for the rest of your life. That's what salvation is. And the result is that is that you're going to have that powerful and cut muscle and six packs, right? But see, oftentimes we think salvation is that's just unrealistic. That's not going to happen. And when I die, I will become like that. Right? That's what we think, because we're going to go to heaven and we'll have a perfect body. Right now, that's hopeless. That's what we think of salvation is. That's why we never experience the fullness of Christ's salvation. But salvation is God coming to you and say, I'm going to give you everything that is necessary for you to live that victorious, that Christ-like life right now. That's what salvation is. So true salvation is experiencing the love of the Heavenly Father. Experiencing the love of the Heavenly Father and receiving the eternal life already paid for by Jesus Christ. And on top of that, see, you have something free, it's paid for, but more than that, you have the power. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit to live this abundant life right now. And that's what salvation is. It's a complete package. It's a complete package. I mentioned Dwight L. Moody before. If you look at his life, he's an uneducated guy, right? He was born in a fairly poor family. His parents did not really have a consistent job. They were just working hard, trying to make ends meet. And he didn't have any he didn't have much of an education, and yet God grabbed a hold of his heart and empower him to be one of the most powerful preachers ever. Why is that possible? Well, it's not because he's capable or he's gifted in some extraordinary way. But that salvation, that complete package is available to him. I mentioned to you about my father before. He's trained as a, and he went to college for ceramics. Okay? It's really weird, ceramics. And who goes to college to learn ceramics, right? But yet, God is able to grab a hold of his heart and empower him and make him probably the top authority in Taiwan right now in the field of social works, in the field of training for the handicapped, employment for the handicapped. How is that possible? Right? Because God has given us that complete package. See, salvation is not just the forgiveness of sin. It is that. You know, it is a ticket into heaven, but that's not all. It's all-encompassing. It's totally, we are totally safe from this point on. Okay, but the question is, I think that always lingers in our hearts, is how then do I have that kind of life? How do I experience that kind of encompassing salvation? And this is the key concept that we are finally getting to after 2 weeks, and that is the D word. What is the D word? Well, this is what Dallas Willard called the great omission, or great omission in the Great Commission, and that is discipleship. That is discipleship. Salvation is more than just believing. It is about being Jesus' disciple. It is more than just believing. It is about being Jesus' disciple. See, discipleship, or being Jesus' follower, disciple, is what Jesus commanded. That is what is absolutely necessary for all Christians. It's not optional. If you want the abundant kingdom life, this is what is required. And God is ready to bless us with this abundant kingdom life. But it is discipleship. It requires discipleship. Now, I want us this morning to really reflect in our own lives right now, all of us, including myself, and ask ourselves this question. Am I a Christian? Am I a Christian? Just think about that for a second. What does it mean to be a Christian? Am I a Christian? That's Greek. Yes, it is Greek. Christianos, okay? Now, I'm not trying to teach you Greek, but that's what the Greek word for Christian is. Okay, Christianos. But now look at the Greek word for Christ. How do they compare? Very similar, right? Just a few letters difference. Like, even if you don't know what the letters mean, it's only a few letters difference, right? Because you can look at the shape. Now, see, the word Christian only appears three times in the entire Bible. Only three times. Twice in Acts and once in Peter, 1 Peter. In Acts 11:26 is the first use of that word. And we read in Acts 11 that they were the Christians in the church of Antioch were first called Christians. And people look into why were they called Christians? Well, it was actually because they were known by the non-believers around them as weirdos, as these strange people that practice weird things. They go around all day trying to be like Jesus. Okay, and in fact, they look at these early believers and they thought these are really strange people because they look like little Christ running around. And so they coined this term as an insult, as a mockery to this group of weird people that are not being themselves, but they're becoming like Jesus. Because right? The non-believers thought it was so strange that there's a group of people running around like that. So the question is, am I a Christian? If my answer is yes, then I need to look and behave and think and feel and act like Christ. Because that's what being a Christian means. That is precisely what discipleship is about. It's following Jesus so closely that you become a carbon copy of who he is. Okay, that's what discipleship is. So am I a Christian? Am I a Christian? Am I a little Christ? Right? See, in business, young people, I think we recognize this, how important this is. If you want to go far in the business world, you practice shadowing. Right? You go find these executives or CEOs that you feel that you really look up to and say, I want to just follow you. I want to shadow you so that I can learn your traits. I can become like you. That's what discipleship is, right? Or in sports, people study films of great players in football or in basketball, or they go to the games and watch these people play. They try to copy their moves. That's becoming a carbon copy of that person. That's learning to be like that person. For you and me, we shadow Jesus. We study Jesus so that we become like him. That's what discipleship is about. And that's what Jesus said it's gonna give us that kingdom life that he intends us to have. See, the biblical language for discipleship include these concepts. Oops, sorry. To clothe or to put on. Romans 13, if you you see Romans 13, 12 to 14. Let's read this together. The concept of discipleship means putting on and clothing ourselves with Jesus Christ. Let's read this together. Okay, Romans 13, 12 to 14. The night is nearly over. The date is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of sinful nature. Clothing ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, literally putting on Jesus Christ over who we are. Another passage, Galatians 3:27. Let's read this one together as well. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Same thing. Look at and these are action words, right? It says, clothe yourself with Christ. One more, Colossians 3:9-10. Let's read this one together as well. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Taking off an old self and putting on a new self. See, these are action words. These are verbs that says we put on, we clothe ourselves with Christ. And that's what discipleship is. It's following Jesus, putting on Jesus. See, salvation is not only about believing, it is about being. Well, it is about believing and receiving, but that's not all there is. You know, it is about receiving this free gift. You know, the Bible is very, very clear that we cannot work or earn our salvation by good deeds. We do not say, God, these are my offerings of good deeds, and I'm going to buy salvation. It doesn't work like that. It is receiving. It is believing. But it's also about being. It's also about being. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 says in the Great Commission, it's about being. Just want to fill that in. The Great Commission says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Once again, these are action words, right? We see go, we see make, right? We see baptizing, we see obey. These are action words. We pursue, we be. I think one of the things that God's been showing me in the past few months, and I feel that it's, you know how sometimes God comes and just really convicts your heart, and you feel really bad, but at the same time you know that it's from God, because it's not one where that condemnation weighs on you, but it's one where God tells you that He wants to do something good in you, but He needs you to realize something bad is happening, and there's a lot of mercy and a lot of grace coming to you. One of the things I feel that God's been showing me in the past few months is I think my greatest failure in this church in the past 6 years, and that is I have not been making disciples. I have not been showing people the fullness of Christ, where people are so drawn to Him, where people look at Him and say, I just want to be like Him. And I feel that God is telling me that you haven't done this well. You haven't done this well. And the reason why, I believe, is because I haven't really learned to be the disciple of Christ that is described to us in the Bible. And I think, see, many of us here in church, we can give the right answers. We can even act the right way. But I don't think many of us can say we're totally sold out to Jesus. And that's what discipleship is. It's totally sold out to Jesus. And that's something that I need to learn. See, Jesus didn't say, go and make struggling Christians. Jesus didn't say, go and make nominal Christians. Right? And Jesus didn't even say, go and make these Christians that can regurgitate all kinds of answers. That's not the point. Jesus said, go out and make disciples. You and I, disciples, copies, covering copies of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what He says. Luke 14. Let's read this together and really let it sink into our hearts. I think if we don't read it, we don't really believe it. Okay, 14. Now these 26, 27, 33, these few verses. Let's read it together. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, even life itself, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciple. I don't think we really understand the magnitude of this command, that these words that Jesus said. I think it's easy for us to rationalize. It's okay, how can Jesus tell us to hate our parents? How can Jesus tell us to hate even ourselves? How can Jesus, realistically demand that we give up everything and follow Him? How is that possible? So we rationalize it and say, okay, maybe this just means that, maybe not literally everything. We just got to place Him, quote unquote, first. Right? So as long as I think about Him first, But the reality is, no, I don't think we're ever thinking about him first, unless we really surrender everything to him. So from all these things, we see that Jesus is saying, you cannot just believe and receive. You got to act as well. See, Alan, I think this is a funny concept, but salvation includes working out. I know that's not because I go to the gym, 5 days a week, okay? This is not my personal pet peeve, but just salvation includes working out, and this is biblical. Now, let's go back to that picture we saw earlier again. Rebellion, we're in a state of rebellion. The Holy Spirit draws us, and then we repent, right? And God's grace comes over us, and we become safe. Right? This is the point of salvation. And we talk about, how do I move from here to this abundant life? Abundant life. Well, Jesus said, be my disciple and start working out. Okay? Now, I didn't make this up. Let me show you where it is. Philippians 2. Let's read this together, okay? Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Look at another one. Ephesians. Let's read this one together as well. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now the concept both here is that we need to work out, but we can't. We're unable because the Spirit of God will enable us, empower us to do. We need to work out. We need to say, yes, God, thank you for this free gift, this Bowflex Ultimate 2. And thank you. But God, I'm too weak. I get on it. I'm going to get on it. I can't do it. And I need your power. I need your Spirit to empower me to do so. And God says, yes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to enable you to do it. That's what salvation is about. It's not just about saying, God, I believe, and that's it. I'm just going to sit here and just wait for things to happen. See, I think the concept we usually have in our minds is that I'm just going to believe in God, and everything happens automatically. I'm just going to be a perfect Christian because now I believe in God. I'm going to have this abundant, victorious, powerful, passionate kingdom life automatically. That is not true. That is not true. Okay, abundant and victorious, powerful, passionate life, kingdom life is not automatic. You have to work out. God has made it available to us, plain to us, and said, this is available to you. You can grab hold of it, but you got to go get it. You got to want it, and you got to start practicing it. I've been reading Dallas Willard a lot recently, and actually there happened to be an article on Christianity Today, the latest issue. And there's one quote by him that I feel that is really, that really just captured the state of our beings today. And I want to read it. And this is what it says. I think it's a devastating indictment of what Christians are like today. This is what it says. It says, the general human failing is to want what is right. So we want what is right and important, but at the same time, not to commit to the kind of life that will produce the action we know to be right and the condition we want to enjoy. So we know what is right. We know what is right and what is important, but we are unwilling to commit to the kind of life that is required to live this what is right. And he says, this is a feature of human character that explains why the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I think oftentimes we feel that if we just somehow, maybe once a year I'll go to these retreats, or once in a while I'll go to these conferences and just get charged up, that is good enough. That God is going to somehow do something miraculous. And oftentimes he does. I'm not saying that he doesn't. But if I just go to these retreats once a year and just get charged up, I'm a brand new person. I can just go on. Right? God's going to bring me up and I'm just going to keep going. Or if I just go to some special event and have somebody pray over me and then I'm instantly fixed, I'm going to just live a victorious life. Well, I think it's an idiotic idea of living on retreat heights. It's like thinking that I can go to hometown buffet or go to some all-you-can-eat place and just eat like crazy for 3 days. And I'm going to live off the fat for the rest of the year. It doesn't work. Why? Because God says, I want you to be with me every day. I want you to feed on me every day. I want you to pursue after me every day. I want you to follow me every day. And I think the reality is that we are so used to living a lifestyle where we go to sushi house and just eat for 3 days straight. Or worse, maybe we go to Krispy Kreme donuts and eat donuts for 3 days straight. Okay? And then we feed on so much poison that we no longer desire the real spiritual food that God has for us. And I think we're so used to it, we think that that's normal Christian life. And we wonder, why is it that I'm not able to have the kind of life that these spiritual heroes live? Why is it that they are able to have that kind of powerful, victorious life and I can't? You know, the reason why we have Sunday schools, the reason why we have small groups, the reason why we have Bible studies, so that we can help, that all of us can come together and feed on God every day. We can learn who God is. I dare to say that many of us sitting here think that we're Christians and we don't even know the God that we believe in, because we don't spend time getting to know him. Many of us sit here thinking that we're worshiping, but you don't even know who you're worshiping. And that's a problem. And God is saying, I want to give you this life. Just come and practice. Come and live it. Come and grab a hold of it. I've already given it to you. Start using it. Start living it out. And when you feel weak, I'm going to come in and I'm going to enable you to live that kind of life. When you have a fight with your parents and you feel like they just never understand you and you cannot calm down enough to ever have a decent conversation with him, God is saying, I have given you the power to honor your parents and to obey them when you think it's impossible. You can come to him. You can practice. You can feed on his word. You can get close to him, and you will be able to receive that kind of power. I know many of us are struggling with addiction. It doesn't seem like I can break them. And we keep working at it. I think our approach is all wrong. You're not going to have any power to work on your problems, your addictions, unless you are tapped into God directly. Then God will give you the power to break your addictions. Or sometimes I say, I want to treat my spouse right. I want to love my spouse, but it's so hard to not get angry and just start yelling. So I'm going to work on not yelling. I'm going to work on having patience, because that's my spiritual, that's a fruit of the Spirit. I wouldn't work on patience. Nobody ever grows fruit by injecting, nutrients straight into the fruit. You feed the tree that is planted on the ground so that your tree is connected to the source of nutrients, right? Same thing for us. We cannot just work on the behavior, but not be connected to the source, and that is God Himself. And that's what discipleship is about, that we walk so closely with Jesus that we literally take on His form, take on His heart, that we become like Him. And I believe that what God wants us to do as a church, as believers, is that we come and connect deeply with Him, walk in His shadows, become like Jesus. And next week, we're going to talk about how we can actually practice that. And there are some of these are things that Christians for thousands of years has been practicing. But we think somehow, I don't know, in our modern day, we think that we can just believe in Jesus and let God's grace cover us, and we can just sit there and we can have this abundant life. Or we can go to one conference and one retreat and you're going to get instant, it's like fast food. You go to McDonald's and you get this meal and you get full, right? That doesn't happen. You want the life that God has promised you? Yes, I do. I want this life that God has promised me. And I'm just beginning to learn, like all of us. And my hope is that we can all learn together and really grab hold of this powerful life. It's available. It's available for us. So let's bow with a word. And bow, just come before God and ask Him this morning. God, I want to confess to you, just recognizing that oftentimes our approach is all wrong. We think that we can just somehow, miraculously, I guess, become clean and become holy in our lifestyle, in our living, without having you in our lives at all. Or just having part of you and not surrendering everything to you. God, we confess to you that we oftentimes we're just lazy. We think that we can live our lifestyle of sin and lifestyle where we are still our own gods and be able to enjoy the abundant life you have given us at the same time. Lord God, I just want to come before you and really surrender all of our lives, all of my life to you. And Lord God, I know that this doesn't happen automatically. It's not something that I can just kind of force myself to feel or conjure up. Lord, you know that many of us really desire this life, this abundant life. And we desire to pursue you, but we're just weak. We feel so unable. Sometimes we feel that we don't even have the desire at all. Our hearts are so calloused, so hard. Even though we mentally know this is important, this is right, but we just can't conjure up that desire. So God, I pray that right now we just, as we cried out to you, that you will pour out your Spirit to enable us, to give us that new heart, to soften and shatter that heart of stone, and really give us a heart that is sensitive, that is open to you. And Lord, we know that you alone can do this heart transplant. So I ask that your Spirit would come and transform our hearts this morning as we surrender to you. Lord God, we want to be walking in your shadow. We want to be little Christ. And Lord, we know that only you can do that work in us.
Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray.